Okay, imagine you're in a room like this. And in that room is an elephant. It's a bit hard to imagine, but you know, it's not hard to imagine an elephant, is it? And imagine five blind men who've never seen an elephant before come into the room. And each of them stand around different parts of the room and start touching the elephant. What do you think they would say was inside that room? Now, one man touching the tusk, the long white tusk with pointy end, might think, it's a spear. This is pointy, it's long, and it's hard, so it must be a spear. Another man touching the big round leg would have concluded that it was a tree because, you know, a big round tree. And another man touching the long winding nose would have thought, oh, it's very wiggly, and it's long, and it's somewhat slimy, so it must be a snake. Another man touching the long hair on the tail would have thought, this is a bit stringy, and you can play around with it, bend it a bit, must be a rope. But another man pushing on the side of the body would have thought, this is huge, I can't feel the edge of it, I can't push it, so it must be a wall. Now to each of them, what they experienced and understood of what they were touching was true for them, wasn't it? A spear, a wall, a tree, or a rope, it was all real and true for them. And their conclusion of what they were touching would have been true for each of them in their minds. But imagine if a man who can actually see walks into that room. He sees his sight with an elephant in the room and these five blind men going around touching the elephant. What do you think he would have said? He would have seen the elephant and thought, what's an elephant doing in a room? Right? He wouldn't have been thinking, what's this part? He would have actually seen the elephant and said, it's an elephant. But the real question is, what's an elephant doing in the room? Likewise, in today's passage, we see both the Jewish leaders and Pilate too blinded by their own version of the truth, too blinded by what they perceive was the truth to see the truth of Jesus. They cannot see who Jesus really is and what his life and what his death would mean for them. Now that the Jewish leaders have arrested Jesus, they can finally carry out their plot to kill him. So we've seen how they had dragged him from the garden into before Annas and Caiaphas, and now they can fulfill their plot to kill him. The plot that was long time coming. It was something that they had been planning for a while back. For ever since Jesus had started going around places and saying and healing people and teaching the kingdom is near, the Jewish leaders, the priests, and the Pharisees, they wanted to arrest Jesus and kill him because he was going against what they perceived was the truth for them. That is why when they came together in John chapter 11 verse 47, they said, what are we accomplishing? Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And they acknowledge in John 11:47, the verse that we just read, that Jesus was performing miracles. They knew that he was performing miracles and they accepted that what he was doing was a miracle. But they still could not accept that he was sent by God. For Jesus was not one of them. He did not go along with what they preached or what they thought was important. He did not subscribe to their understanding of the truth. For the priesthood, for the priests, their role had become a political one. Their role had become ruling over the people under the Roman authority. Instead of being the mediators between God and his people, they had become a political body that was always fearful of Roman judgment. As it stood, they had a good life. You know, the previous governor, the governor before Pilate, had chopped and changed the priesthood. He had changed the chief priests. Within a year, they had made about two chief priests. That's why we read in the previous passage that Annas was the chief priest, and then suddenly Caiaphas is the chief priest. It's because the governor, the Roman governor, was changing the office of the person who was holding the role of the chief priest. So the priesthood was subjected to the Roman rule rather than being subject to God. They were more concerned with keeping power than the holiness of the nation. So they wanted to keep Jesus quiet by any means. They wanted him out of the way, out of the picture, so that they can go on living the way they did. And as for the Pharisees, they wanted to usher in the new kingdom of God by their own piety. Their conclusion from the scripture was that God was only going to be bringing in his kingdom when everyone was holy. When Israel was godly enough, Jesus would usher in the kingdom. So they devised rules and regulations to govern the people and how they were to obey the law of Moses. From Sabbath regulations to ceremonial cleansing and midweek fasting, they heaped more burdens on the people to obey. They wanted them to be godly in their external expression of faith. And Jesus did not buy into this truth. He did not subscribe to the Pharisees' understanding of what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus preached, Jesus actually took away the burden, didn't he? He actually said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. My yoke is light." Jesus spoke about liberating those who were burdened and weary rather than heaping more burdens on the people to obey. That is why the Pharisees thought Jesus was taking away their position. Because the Pharisees amongst the people were pious. Everyone knew that they were a pious people. Everyone knew that they were religious. Everyone knew that they were fasting all the time. Yet Jesus was saying, that is not important. Those things that the Pharisees are doing are not important for the kingdom of God. What's important is whether you have a right relationship with God through him, through Jesus. And that's why the Pharisees hated Jesus, because he was taking away their power base. This all meant that the two groups, the priests on the one hand and the Pharisees on the other hand, had to join hands in order to fight a common enemy. For you see, in normal circumstances, the priests and the Pharisees were very suspicious of each other. Imagine this. The Pharisees are saying to the priests, "You should be doing your job and leading the people in holiness." And the priests are saying, "Who are you, Pharisees, who have no position in the temple, who are not religiously ordained by God? Who are you to tell us what to do?" These are two warring factions within Israel. And yet when they're faced with Jesus as the common enemy, they came together and joined hands. And so when Caiaphas stood up in John chapter 11, verse 49, to say, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." Both the Pharisees and the priests agreed that Jesus had to die. And so they gave an order in chapter 11, verse 57. But the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so that they might arrest him. And so when Judas offers to betray Jesus, they thought, aha, perfect opportunity. Let's go and get it. And that is where we pick up the story in today's passage. Judas goes up to the priests and the Pharisees and say he will betray them, betray Jesus. And Jesus is arrested in the garden and brought before Caiaphas and Annas. And then finally we take up the story now in today's passage where Jesus is dragged before Pilate, the Roman governor. The truth for the Jewish leaders is that Jesus was going against their understanding of religion. Rather than seeking the truth of God, they sought to maintain their own reality. And their hypocrisy is further compounded in how they actually handed Jesus over to Pilate. For although God had commanded them not to bear false testimony, not to lie before about other people, the Jews lied in order to get Pilate to accept responsibility for Jesus. What's more, rather than having concern to obey God's command, all they were interested in was being ceremonially clean. So what did they say? They said, we can't go into the Gentiles' palace because, you know, you never know what's in there. They might be eating pork for all we know. Right? So they said, we can't go in there because on that day, they had to eat the Passover on that day. So they stayed outside the palace. They were more interested in the external appearances than to obey God in their hearts, because they forgot that God had commanded them not to tell lies. So have a look at verse 28. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. If they wanted, they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. The Jewish leaders had murder and hate in their heart, but they still wanted to eat the Passover. Can you see the hypocrisy in their hearts? They wanted to kill this man who was innocent. In their heart, they wanted to kill him. They were having all this rage inside their hearts. And yet, externally, they thought, we have to keep up appearances. We have to say to the people, show to the people that it is right for us to eat the Passover. And as you know what the Passover is, it's a lasting ordinance, a lasting festival to remember that God had brought Israel out of Egypt, how God had rescued Israel because of His grace, His love, and His mercy. And so rather than remembering God's love and mercy, what did the Jewish leaders do? They desired to kill Jesus. They desire to kill the Passover Lamb of God. Can you see the irony in that? They were trying to eat the Passover Lamb in the feast that they were about to celebrate. Yet now they're killing the real, the true Lamb of God who came to die for us. The Jewish leaders were so focused on their version of the truth that they had failed to recognize the truth of Jesus. To them, the truth we see was seen in their traditions and authority. They had no time for someone who would take away their place. And in contrast to the concerns of the Jewish leaders, Pilate was concerned with what was going on back in Rome. His desire would have been to return to Rome as soon as possible. Whatever happens in Palestine would have been a distraction for him. Whatever happens in Palestine was not important for him. So when the Jewish leaders led Jesus as a criminal to his palace, Pilate did not want to accept any responsibility. Who would want a headache like Jesus? And the fact that it was early morning and that he was dragged outside of the palace to meet up with these Jewish leaders would have compounded on his bad mood. And so he asked quite bluntly in verse 29, what charges are you bringing against this man? Now the Apostle John does not record what the Jews actually charged Jesus with. John simply records in verse 30 that the Jews considered Jesus as a criminal. However, the fact that they brought Jesus as a criminal to a Roman governor shows that would suggest that Jesus was charged with a crime against Rome. And the fact that in verse 31 that they actually suggest that he be executed suggests that they were bringing in a charge that was very serious. It wasn't a petty crime that they were charging Jesus with. They were actually charging him with something that was far greater, something that was extremely against the Roman Empire. And this is what Luke records in Luke chapter 23, verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." They were actually charging him of insurrection. They were charging him of rebelling against the Roman rule. So Pilate goes back into the palace where he holds court to determine whether Jesus is actually guilty of the charges that the Jews have brought before him. And so in verse 33, Pilate asks Jesus whether he considers himself to be the king of the Jews. And now a simple yes answer here would have solved all the problems for Pilate. He would have just thrown him into prison and executed him on the next opportunity. Pilate perhaps wanted Jesus to confess in order to settle the matter very quickly. Because as I said before, he would not have wanted to get too much involved in what was happening with the Jews. But Jesus in turn asks whether this charge that he brings before Jesus was from himself or from the Jews or from others. And Pilate's response in verse 35 shows that he does not really care whether Jesus was the king of the Jews or not. And even if Jesus was a king, what kind of king does his own people hand over to his enemy? That's not a king, is it? A king has the backing of his people. A king has the obedience of his people, not being handed over by the people to the enemy. And so Jesus was a nobody to Pilate. Even if he was the king of the Jews, a king of the Jews is really nothing compared to a Roman governor, because a Roman governor still had authority over anyone, any king over Israel. Jesus was just a decision that had to be made for Pilate as the governor of Palestine. The truth for Pilate is that his real hope, his real desire was back in Rome, where all the mighty of the empire, or where all the important people of the empire was congregated. His truth was back in Rome, where he desired to be. There was no way he could see that before him was the light for all the Gentiles. In Jesus, all he saw was just a carpenter from Nazareth. Now, what both the Jewish leaders and Pilate failed to see was that Jesus is the truth they needed to see. Both the Jews and Pilate had an understanding of what was true for them. And Jesus was not part of their version of the truth. For the Jews had failed to see that Jesus was indeed their king, their Messiah. For they expected a powerful king. They wanted a powerful king who would come in and usher the kingdom of God by force to overthrow the Roman Empire. And if the king did not come by force, they wanted to force the hand of God by being pious, by being religious, by being ceremonially clean in everything they do in their lives. They never expected that their Messiah would come as a suffering servant. They never expected that their king, their Messiah, would come to die in their place. Jesus knew the truth, though. He knew that he had to be handed over to the Romans to be executed. To fulfill God's mission and bring salvation to the world, he had to be killed, just like the Passover lamb had to be killed. For without death, God's wrath against sin cannot be dealt with. And Pilate could not see that the authority Jesus held was even greater than that of the Roman emperor. Jesus could have called down the heavenly host to protect him, to prevent his arrest. And no amount of Roman soldiers could have prevented or prevailed or won against the heavenly host. But the truth is, Jesus had to be handed over. Jesus had to fulfill God's will. He had to die. Because he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his flock. This is the truth that the Jews and Pilate had failed to see and understand. To them, he was just a problem that they had to deal with. So the Jews demanded that Barabbas be released. They demanded a man who was actually guilty of the crime they were charging Jesus with. For Barabbas was involved in this rebellion against Rome. He had actually killed someone during the rebellion. He deserved to be crucified. Yet the people, urged by the leaders, asked this man Barabbas rather than their king to be released. They were so blinded by their version of the truth. They were so blinded by what they thought, what they perceived was the truth, that they could not see the truth of Jesus. And Pilate obliged. For Jesus was just a man whose death had no real bearing on his political ambitions. For if Pilate killed him, there was no repercussion for him. On the other hand, if he allowed him to be released, the people would have gone up in arms. There would have been an uprising, and Rome would have called him up and said, "Why did this happen in your watch?" So the true Passover lamb was handed over for execution, just as God had planned it and Jesus had desired it. The story of the elephant and five blind men. You know, it usually tells the story, the moral story of how everyone needs to work together to solve a common problem. But if everyone is preoccupied with their own version of the truth and shouting at each other and arguing with each other, they cannot see what the truth really is. And if they cannot know what the truth is, then there is no hope for them to know why the elephant is in the room in the first place. Likewise, the Jews and Pilate were preoccupied with their own truths. They had their own false kings to serve. They could not tolerate the true king in Jesus, who went against everything they held dear. And this is a problem that is not just restricted to the Jewish leaders and to Pilate. It is a universal problem of sin. When we all fail to recognize the truth of who Jesus is, we fail to understand and submit to his kingship. Jesus is the truth we all need. He is not a problem that is to be dismissed because we have other things to take care of, other things to solve. Unless we listen to his truth, how can we know what is really true in our life? How can we know that God is angry with us unless we actually listen to Jesus? How can we know that God's wrath, God's anger can be appeased by the death of Jesus unless we actually listen to him? Just as the five blind men needed another person to see and tell them the truth, this world also needs us to tell them about Jesus. The whole world is so preoccupied with the big problem, the world problems, like climate change, world peace, or global financial crisis. They're too preoccupied with all these things that they cannot see the real problem of God's wrath, the real problem of sin. And if we are not the ones telling them about Jesus and the problem of sin, how will the world know? But we know the truth because we are the flock of Jesus. We belong to him and know his voice. We've heard him and we trust him. Which also means, because we know the truth, because we know that Jesus is the truth and he is the solution, we should not let any other problems in our lives blind us to the truth of Jesus. We should not let whatever personal problems that we have or personal ambitions that we might have to blind us from what the truth is. That Jesus is our King. He is the King that died to save us. And if we fail to see that in our lives, then we will live a life that is not obedient. So do not let other problems and other kings distract you from the truth in Jesus. Keep on trusting him. Keep on listening to his voice. For who is Jesus? He is our true King and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, that he is your truth, that he came to die in our place. And by his death and resurrection, we are forgiven and given eternal life. So Lord, as we go through life, although it may be hard at times, we pray, Lord, that we will never forget the truth of Jesus, that we will never let go of what the truth that is found in him, that we will not let anything else, any other truth or any other kings in our lives to overshadow the authority and sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in his name we pray. Amen.